Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to Passion and Purpose. Zach Daniels back with me today.
Hey, back again.
J.O. has got a new job, so I don't know if we'll be seeing him as much. I see him every Sunday, see him as a friend. But Zach's going to be stepping in more and more to walk us through what God's doing in this moment. And man, I just want to also just pause and say, hey, thank you, everybody, for listening and being a part of this journey with us. I think that so much about what I love about podcasts is that we can just casually talk about the things that are in our hearts. And so much of discipleship is about that as you walk along the way.
Okay.
Share your heart. Share the things that God's doing in you. Share with each other. I think I see the scripture as much as kind of preaching and teaching. I see it as much as a lifestyle of preaching and teaching to one another, you know, encouraging one another in the Lord. And so I love that, this format, and it's fun to do with you, Zach, because, again, I know we are, our hearts are the same, and us going back and forth just helps a little bit.
So. Yeah, well, it's an honor to get to talk with you and ask questions and learn. So you've been out traveling within the Antioch Movement the last couple weeks and even the broader body of Christ.
Yeah.
I know you're carrying in your heart this word about unity. And as you've been with our folks around the world and with YWAM in Kona, what have you been seeing and talking with people about in the area of unity? What's been standing out to you?
Yeah, I think what I would say to everybody, the common theme everywhere I go is there's a fresh hunger and humility. So hunger, I don't mean like in an aggressive way, but just like this gentle, real, authentic desire for God. People are leaning in more. And then humility in the sense of, hey, none of us really has the corner on the market.
Yeah.
No one church, one movement, one person. So if we'll just lean in together right now in our desire for God and authenticity and our desire to connect with God's friends, God's like-hearted people, we're going to see the Lord in ways that we never have. And I think that's my thing that I'm 100% convinced of. When Jesus said that we would be one as He and the Father are one, so the world may know, then it deeply matters to the world that I lean into my brother or my sister.
Wow.
I've always known that I'm only a part of what God's doing. Therefore, the movement we lead, Antioch's only a part of what God's doing. The scripture says we know in part, we hear in part, and all that. When we see Him, we'll be fully known. But what that means is no matter how much I'm clicking in Jesus, no matter how zealous I am and full of God I am today, I'm still just a part. So that's fun as I traveled to learn as well as to give. In D.C., we partner with YWAM D.C. At a place called David's Tent, which is in the middle of the National Mall, which I literally could do a whole podcast just about that.
We should do it sometime.
These guys actually are doing Tent Mandate this week where we partner with them and spend the week taking all the prayer slots. They've had a 24/7 prayer tent for 7 years.
Wow.
On the National Mall.
Wow.
And they give us the 10 to 12 slot every Sunday morning as our house churches gather from around the D.C. area. So, but I said the tent was full and people were leaning in. Is what the way I would describe it. There is a beautiful thing happening in the D.C. area. While I was there, I met with a buddy of mine, David Platt, who's the pastor at McLean Bible. And God was doing a fresh move in them that particular previous week. They had met every night. And David said people coming forward with confession of sin, repentance, worship, reading the word out loud, and praying together. And I from what I understand, you know, there continues to be such a good beautiful thing going on in McLean Bible. So wow. I love that because in one way you've got YWAM, kind of the charismatic mission crowd.
Yeah.
You've got McLean Bible, yeah. which would be a little more from the conservative Bible church background. But all of us as friends leaning in together yeah. in this hour.
Yeah.
So fast forward, had an opportunity with our students, which is always beautiful. Again, maybe for another day, talking about all that God's doing with students. But then I was on to YWAM Kona, and I spent a week every day with the Revival and Reformation School talking okay. about, if you've heard us talk before on the podcast about the five circles of church, actually you might want to put that little diagram, post it on this podcast. But hey, how do we do church in such a way that we're impacting yeah. society, yeah. all of society, yeah. from healthcare to education to politics? And what was a real joy for Laura and I being there was having our son and one of his best friends from the DC area who had been living, my son working in politics, Macau working in the education sector, but true disciple makers, house church leaders. I sat and listened to them and I thought, you know what? I'm good to go. I can go to heaven now. These guys
awesome.
Got it. They know how to do it. And so that was a real joy for us. Always great to be with YWAM Kona, our dear friends there. And I would just say about those guys, you know, back to humility and hunger. They not only carry it, but then you see hundreds and hundreds of young people yeah. that they train, not just in, you know, good Bible teaching and missional living, but the spirit of yeah. the community
yeah.
is what draws us all together and makes yeah. us one. So, maybe I'll just say lastly, because of that humble and hungry thing and humility thing, the partnerships are unlimited for missional living or yeah. for changing the nations. We're partnering with YWAM and 43 other organizations in the country of Myanmar
yeah.
To see it reach for Jesus. We're talking about Mongolia and collaborating again with different organizations to say, how do we get a Bible in everybody's hand? How yeah. do we preach the gospel to everybody? How do we plant churches for every 1,000 people on the earth? How do we literally empower people in the spheres of society mm-hmm. so that whole nations are transformed?
Yeah.
And no one person can do it. No one movement can do it. But man, when these kind of collaboration unity things start happening,
yeah.
they're genuine, they're authentic, they're not what we should do, they're what we want to do mm-hmm. because God's put the spirit within us. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's mm-hmm. amazing, encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love hearing that. There's so many things from what you shared that stand out to me. But one thing that I wanted to say is thank you for your leading us in pursuing unity of the spirit, cultivating unity of the spirit, but you're practically leading us, not just in talking about it, but being about it
yeah.
and saying, I'm going to press in with my brothers and sisters in Christ and build those relationships, mm-hmm. lead us as the Antioch movement and building those partnerships so that we're yeah. walking out in unifying and locking arms. And I love what you said is that we're a part of the body and we have a calling and assignment that's important,
yeah. Yeah.
but there's other parts of the body. Yeah. And when we come together for God's purposes, man, that's really, really exciting. So yeah. thank you for leading the way
it's
in that.
A joy.
As you said, hungry and humble,
right.
that made me think about Mark 4 and the parable of the four soils.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Christina and I talk with our kids about as we go into church each Sunday is the different soils and how we want to be the good soil that wow. receives the word. And that's what it makes me think of is that hunger and humility
right.
is the good soil. Yeah. that can receive a word from the Lord
right.
and then stick with it to yeah. bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So talk for a few minutes about that hunger and humility, because that's definitely something that is, from my perspective, is a fresh deal that's happening
yeah.
In the U.S., and I don't know where else around the world, but a fresh hunger and humility across the body of Christ in the U.S. coming out of you know the last several years. What would you say?
Yeah, I think what I would say is that God is always sowing his word and revealing himself. So if the heavens declare the glory of God, if I'm just humble enough to wake up every day and look outside
yeah.
and say, I didn't create this world,
yeah.
God did, then I'm humbled in the presence of God.
Yeah.
If I step out and thank God for legs that walk and eyes that see and ears that hear and an opportunity to go to work and have a meaningful purpose, and gratitude allows me to see the awesomeness of God, and it's humbling to say, man, I didn't create myself. I didn't create this design. God did. And then when I find myself full of everything but God, I find that my hunger diminishes for God. Mm. So I want to always be monitoring my appetites for the world that literally suffocate my ability to desire God, see God, want God.
Mm.
So if I were to say it this way, the 2,000-year-old theological debate over sovereignty and free will, maybe I'll say it this way. In God's sovereignty, he has created us as free will agents with the ability to humble ourselves and desire him and love him.
Yeah.
But he does all the work when we create the right soil.
Yeah.
So this allows God to be the hero of the story, but it does put something on us to create humility and hunger, and humility through gratitude, hunger through what I would say is what we feed ourselves with.
Yeah.
And I think that we are underestimating what we're feeding ourselves with that is clouding our hearts and our minds and our worldview, and actually is so disheartening. Because I think actually it doesn't take long for to talk somebody into humbling themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's be real, man. You didn't create yourself. And you can be as arrogant as you want, but, you know, you should be humble.
Yeah.
But hunger's one of those ones that's a little more elusive. And I think that on back to our whole unity process, we are being inundated with other worldviews, and we're taking the poison as if it's sweet. And it's literally distorting our ability to see God rightly and to operate in a way that he created us for.
Wow, that's powerful. Let's dig in there. A couple of things I want to draw out, though, because I know we have listeners around the world.
Yeah.
So you are in Washington, D.C. at the Antioch Church that's there.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, either you live in D.C. or you've got a friend or a brother or a cousin, be a great place to connect them.
Yep.
And then Caleb, Mikal, and the crew are planting where?
They're going to be planting in Miami. Starting really in June, but it's just prayer, worship, and evangelism throughout the summer, and then they'll begin officially in the fall.
So if you are in Miami or know someone in Miami, that'd be a great connection.
Yeah.
You mentioned work in Myanmar.
Yeah.
Right? So
Golden,
how people
Golden
get involved?
Golden Shores Initiative. So all these you can go to Instagram to and or most of them have websites as well. So Antioch, D.C., one. Miami, D.C. is yet to put anything up in a public forum, but that's beginning. And then Golden Shores Initiative. The Golden Shores Initiative, you can go to Instagram, and that'll keep you up on what God's doing to me.
Come on. That's awesome. So you're in D.C. For those of us in the States, obviously, you know, a lot of political center of America, right? And whether in politics or in the church, in an overlap, the topic of unity and the topic of disunity is just very pressing for us in this time. So if everybody says, hey, we want to be unified, but at the same time, we see this radical polarization all around and divisiveness all around, why is it so hard, whether at a political level or maybe just for the sake of our podcast today, at a church like brother and sister in Christ level, why is it so challenging to be unified?
Yeah. And again, we're on this journey. We're using three words: union with God, communion with the saints, and partnership with his mission or his will as our kind of words: union, communion, and partnership. And whenever we talk about unity, we usually begin by what they're not doing. Like if they would just do this, you know, the church or the political party or the or whoever, the educators, if they would just do this, then we would all be, you know, because they won't, then we're not. Versus what the scripture says, first look to yourself.
Wow.
Right? what is it in me, Lord,
wow,
that needs to change?
Yeah.
Search me and try me. What in me is disunified?
Yeah.
First, vertically.
Yeah.
Because wherever I'm out of union and communion with God himself, I'm going to distort how I see other people.
Wow.
I'm going to distort my reactions to wow, other people. I'm going to distort. I'm not even going to be able to see rightly for the wisdom of God that's needed to be a part of the unity conversation.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the definition of unity is,
yeah,
apart from God and his word.
Yeah.
So my big pause to everybody is, hey, pause before you speak wickedly and point the finger, as Isaiah 58 says.
Wow.
And point it back to yourself and
wow,
say, Spirit of the living God, am I fully imbibing in you?
Okay.
Not just abiding.
Okay.
Like, am I literally caught up in God,
yeah,
with my affections,
yeah,
with my desires, with my wants, with my opinions?
Yeah.
With my am I really like, Jesus, I love you, and I want you to rule and reign over me. When we
yeah,
say, your kingdom come, your will be done.
Yeah.
That is the rule and reign of God, is the definition of the kingdom. So
yeah,
if God is not ruling over my mind
yeah,
and my affections
yeah,
and my will, then I am going to be a hindrance to the unity conversation, not an addition, a helpful person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So huge, huge, huge worldview.
Yeah.
So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my revelation of God, for my love for him, his love for me, and my consuming passion for him,
yeah,
then allows me to see his heart and his mind
yeah,
towards my brother and sister.
Yeah.
Right? When it says in Colossians 3, be patient with one another, humble yourselves one another. It says, forgiving one another, just as you also have been forgiven by God.
Mm.
So if I don't know how much I've been forgiven,
mm-hmm,
then it's very difficult for me to be gracious and compassionate to you, because you're not helping me with what I want.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're out with me.
Yeah.
Or you said something that I didn't like, or you're doing something that bugs me. I cut you off
yeah,
so quickly because I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm really honest with God, every wicked thought anybody's ever had, I at least had the thought pass through my mind or didn't do something terrible. So I start with compassion for all people because I want compassion for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in that posture, then it's easier to forgive, it's easier to reconcile, and it's easier to honor because I've been honored, I've
yeah,
been reconciled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so much there.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot
so
there.
Much
yeah,
there. One thing that stood out to me about what you said is it's so easy for us when we start talking about unity to point the finger at everybody else who we perceive as being disunified. And if they would just do this, then everything
yeah,
would be awesome. And you're saying, hey, let's take the words of Jesus. That is, you know, you think you see the speck in your brother's
yeah,
eye, but really you got a log in your own. And if you
right,
deal with that log, then you actually might be able to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Not might be able to, you would be able to
yeah,
see. And so one takeaway for everyone listening, as we think about unity, we think about the challenges of unity, is to start with, what in me?
Yeah.
Where are the logs? Where are the logs in my relationship with
right,
the Lord? Because if that's not right and whole and healthy and connected to him, then
yeah,
I don't have anything really to offer anybody else. I have a distorted view.
Right.
Where are the logs in my own relational abilities with others that I need to
yeah,
tend to? Right. That's a big
yes,
takeaway
huge,
from what you're saying. Let's lean in. So that's one big takeaway. I want to hit a second part. You talked about worldview.
Yeah.
And then we've talked a lot about truth and lies
yeah,
over the history of this podcast. How do you see a biblical worldview, what the Bible teaches about sin and that sort of thing? How does that shape our ability to be unifiers,
right,
to understand how to walk in unity with others?
Yeah. So again, we could start in Genesis and move through the whole scripture, both in story and admonitions and commandments that would kind of give us the answers in the big view. But in the short run, I think Paul hits it so powerfully in Romans 12, and we often leave out the first phrase. He says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, or I'm begging you, I'm crying literally in my heart, please listen to me. To present your body a living and holy sacrifice, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Man, those two verses lived out could change the world. So I beseech you to present, we just talked about that, your affections, your whole being to God and His Word, and let your mind be renewed according to God's design for the world, not man's design for the world, so that you may in turn know how to live your life in a good, acceptable, and yea, verily, even a perfect way at times, because you're living according to a God worldview, not a man worldview.
Okay.
So very practically, let me say this. And man, if there's anything people hear today, this was on my heart this morning, is that I think we've all been shocked at ourselves and or our friends who love the Lord, been at church with us, stayed faithful maybe in their marriage, been good people, best we know. And then we see them literally get wiped off the map in a day. It's like, that's the craziest thing of the last 3 years. Like, oh, I'm leaving my wife after 30 years. Or my kid believes in this particular worldview, and I'm agreeing with them and going with them into this worldview. Or I've decided that I'm going to do just some off-the-wall thing that has nothing to do with God's purpose, plans, or ways for their lives. And it's like we've grown so weak because our diet has been the world and church has been our commitment. But when our commitment to church pulled off, then the world became our church. So what I mean by that is if the messages of the world are coming at you 80% of the day, and even a good, let's say, well, let's just say you're not putting in 20% of God His Word. Let's say you literally put 15 minutes, word, worship, and prayer. You go to church, you worship and pray for an hour, hour and a half at a church like ours. Kids go to Sunday school. But literally 98%, 99% of your day is living in the world. You're sitting around talking at the sports fields about worldly things. Did you see this TV show? What do you think about that? What about the world news and politics? And you're discussing things from a man-centered, let alone an evil, kind of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life. If you're consumed in that water, you literally can't outdo it. You can't beat it out. You can't overcome it. And so I think my big admonition to everybody is this isn't like it used to be, friends. Like, there has to be a biblical worldview pulsating through our hearts and minds and our homes. And I've said this many times, but I just would really challenge everybody, though you've heard, I just challenge you actually to do it. Like, give me 30 days of only have worship music going on your screen, on your TV. There's this deal called Dapti Keys, which this guy, this African-American guy, beautiful man of God, plays piano 24 hours a day, puts scriptures up while you're listening to worship music. Have that as your screensaver. Put a screensaver of a scripture on your literal phone. When you're in the car, don't turn on talk radio or something. Turn on worship or nothing, or listen to a podcast by Jesus-loving, Bible-believing people. You know, make sure that you, in your friend groups, that you pull in somewhere in your discussion, hey, what's God doing in your life right now? How can I pray for you? Tell me something meaningful where you've seen the Lord today. It doesn't have to be an official discipleship meeting, but just keep the environment clean. Maybe it's, hey, I'm going to read through the whole New Testament in 30 days. This is, I mean, I may have my stat wrong, but I think it's like you read 15 minutes a day. You can read through the whole New Testament in 30 days. This is not that difficult to do. Maybe in your spare time, like I often do, is just get a Bible app and let it, turn it on sound and let it roll through your mind, in your heart. Be missional at work instead of defensive at work. Mm-hmm. A purpose not to get into a conversation that is worldly and ungodly for 30 days.
Yeah.
I'm just not going there. And obviously, cut out media and garbage and whatever social media, whatever it is that you just keeps tripping your wires, known or unknown. There, you got to fast that stuff for seasons to get on top of it and then get a perspective for how to address it appropriately.
So I love this. So things that I hear you saying are hungry and humble.
Yeah.
We start talking about unity. Let's look at ourselves first, like what are the logs we need to address? And then third, what I hear you saying is, do we have a diet? Do we have spiritual inputs that would actually allow us to have a godly view on life? Or are we inundated, marinating in the thoughts and ideas of worldliness, and we're just so used to it that it just comes in? So you're saying, hey, pull off of media or make a Bible reading plan to where you're going to take steps up to feed yourself more because the challenges around you are so significant. You need significant inputs for the significant outputs that you have.
Yeah, let me just tie this in. And I know, of course, what I love about podcasts, it allows me to be ADD. You know, it's a permission to go all over the place. But hopefully this is somewhat linear. But how does this get down to unity?
Yep.
Like biblical unity.
Okay.
Everybody wants unity. How does all this get down? If I have a right God view, and I have the worldview of God and His Word pulsating in and through me, then I have God's solutions for how we might unify around poverty or honor of men and women or sexuality or economics or whatever the issues are. I'll have the wisdom of God because I'm letting God's worldview saturate me. I'll be more kind, more compassionate, more understanding. So I'm taking a God worldview instead of a worldly worldview to try to heal and mend the brokenness of our society. Yeah. There's a great scripture in Isaiah 11 that I pray daily over myself. God, fill me with wisdom, counsel, understanding, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, that I would not judge by what my eyes see or by what my ears hear, but with righteous judgment I would judge the poor of the earth.
Yeah.
And that word poor, it could be poor in spirit, poor economically, you know, poor as apart from God.
Right.
So where do we get this divine wisdom, counsel, understanding, might, knowledge? Where do we get the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace? Where do we get God's design to pull us together, to honor Him, to honor one another, and live out this beautiful mission of redemption, restoration, and renewal?
Yeah.
It's by literally allowing His view to become our view, His eyes to become our eyes, His ears to become our ears, and His mouth to become our mouth.
That's good.
So Jesus said it this way. He said, look, they said, what amazing teaching. He said, my teaching is not my own. Wow, your wisdom's amazing. He said, my judgments aren't my own. If Jesus, fully God, fully man, was getting His downloads as an example to us, so surely should we as well.
Yeah.
So mom, dad, coworker, student, whoever's listening right now, what does God have to say about your season of life?
Yeah.
What's God have to say about your vocation in life? What's God had to say about your attitude towards life right now?
Yeah.
Find the scriptures, find out what God says, gather some friends around those thoughts. And I can't, my experience tells me that God will begin to pull you and others together to unify around a purpose and a plan that is restorative by nature for your city, for your workplace, for your home, or your neighborhood.
I love that. Let me ask you one last question.
Yeah.
We talked this morning about this window of time as being really important for developing what you called our core strength, our inner man.
Yeah.
That this was important because we can't navigate, we don't know the challenges that are ahead, but if we can build that core strength, we'll be prepared for what is to come. I'd love for you to share with the listeners of this podcast some of your thoughts on that, because I thought it was really impactful to me.
Yeah, I think that seems to me from the people that I trust, both prophetically and leaders in the body of Christ, that there's just this deep sense between now and the end of May, and I'm not predicting like some, you know, the coming of the Lord or any particular thing, except to say there's a season here that we all sense it's time to truly not be anxiously looking to the future, but be waiting on God, listening attentively, and slowing down our inner man, because we're going to need the strength of our own devotion. We're going to need the strength of our own love and care for one another to take on what we think is going to be a bit of a turn now coming this summer. And I think that turn is going to be a bit more challenging for us. And again, this isn't some huge prophetic prediction of this, that, or the other. But what it is when I and my friends sense collectively everywhere we go that we're not to be pushing anything, but we're to be pausing and waiting before God, I just want to be highly attentive to that. And so these general exhortations, I mean, anything we talked about today, surely you've heard in church, or maybe you've heard from us through the years, but I would listen a little bit extra right now, because I think that it really matters that we don't say tomorrow I'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I would get to it today, that attentiveness to union, the attentiveness to communion, the attentiveness to God's mission and purpose for your life. And because strengthening that inner core of unity with God and one another is going to be so needed in these coming days that I wouldn't miss this window. Actually, I'd put in the extra effort that it might take, or the extra time to lean in right now, because we're going to need it.
So good. So we're talking timeless truths about unity, but a timely season where it's like, hey, we really want to pay attention to this right now. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for taking time to share these things with us. It's been a joy, and I know that we'll take these things and mull on them in our hearts and work them out in our communities. So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yep. All righty. I love you guys. And hey, attached, we'll put that little five circles diagram of changing the world, and maybe we'll throw in a little time with God packet as well.
All right, little bonus material.
There you go. All right, love you guys.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.